This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Are the Bluetooth lights on? Okay, Baruchim Abam, welcome everyone. Tonight we have really an astounding subject, really an amazing topic, a revolutionary approach to the story of Pinchas and Zimri and Cosby. If I could beg your indulgence for one moment, for this year you must have a chumash, and actually I also must have a chumash. So it's kedai. Everybody needs a chumash. It's what? No, you need the end of Balak, and you need the beginning of Pinchas to really get this year. It's worthwhile to have chumashim. Okay. So actually, what's very interesting is we're going to be featuring a new sefer today. It is a sefer I do not believe we've ever featured in the past. Actually, I'm pretty sure that we have never utilized a sefer in the past, because it was not a sefer that I was familiar with. And I want to thank my friend Rabbi Yossi Brachfeld, who actually got me the svarim and called me many times about this piece. And he was very excited about this piece. So I actually put in a lot of time trying to get this piece down. And it's not a simple piece, but if we're able to study it carefully, it's going to open up a whole new vista of understanding of the meaning of Parshas, the episode of Pinchas, and the end of Parshas Balak. Now, tonight's shir comes from a sefer Chein Toiv. Chein Toiv is five volumes. It's written by Rav Tuvia Halevi. Rav Tuvia Halevi is one of the Chachmei Tzfas after the generation of Rav Shlomo Alkabetz. So we're talking about in the glory days, in the golden age of Tzfas. And he, the Chidah writes in the Shem HaGdolim, he was a student of Rav Shlomo Sagis. And he wrote the Sefer Chein Toiv. Now, I can't say I was very familiar with the Sefer, but as I mentioned, my friend Rav Yossi showed me that Rav Aaron Leib Steinman was a very big fan of the Sefer. In fact, he showed me a picture. The Rav Aaron Leib's Svarim of Chein Toiv were like all beat up. Like he really hovered on these Svarim, Chein Toiv. And he particularly enjoyed the piece we're going to do tonight. So the way the Chein Toiv works is he asks a lot of questions. He starts off by asking seven questions, and the way he answers those seven questions is by asking another eight questions. And we're not going to go through every single question, but we're going to try to hit the main ones, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to open up a new understanding of Parshas Pinchas. So let's start. We're going to start in the beginning. God spoke to Moses saying, so presumably God told Moshe to tell who? I guess Klal Yisrael. Because it can't mean Pinchas, because a few psukim later Hashem says, Lachein Emor, go tell Pinchas. Obviously, Lamar in the beginning means tell Klal Yisrael. Well, ask the Chein Toiv, if Lamar means tell Klal Yisrael, then it should have said, Lochein Emar Loi, later go tell Pinchas, because Moshe already told Klal Yisrael. Lochein Emar means go speak. That seems like Pinchas heard it. And excuse me, that all of Klal Yisrael heard it. Why would all of them have to hear it if Moshe already told them, as evidenced by the first Lamar? In other words, Mimanavshach. Who is the Lamar addressed to? If it's to all of Klal Yisrael, doesn't Lachein Emor include all of Klal Yisrael? If it's Pinchas, Lachein Emor is certainly to Pinchas. So why the two Amirais? Next. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. That's how Yaki's lane. Right? In camp. We're always in camp for Parshas Pinchas. So I went to Camp Monk. It's a Yaki camp, you know? So they always had Ben Aharon HaKohen. That's the Yaki trap. Anyway, that's still in my head. Anyway, so the Torah is being Meyaches Pinchas.
Lamar doesn't mean to tell the next person.
What does it mean?
It's going on the first words.
God spoke to Moshe.
In such words, Lamar.
As follows,
yes. Doesn't mean to tell somebody.
Okay. So it's assuming that the meaning of Lamar is to say it over, right? There are different perushim in what Lamar means. But the next pasuk gives the lineage and the ancestry of Pinchas. Who's Pinchas? He's Ben Elazar. He's Ben Aaron HaKohen. Which is very interesting, because only a few psukim earlier, in the end of Parshas Balak, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen just said who he was. Gave us the whole lineage. It gave us mamish word for word who he was. So why do we need? Well, we forgot the end of Balak, so we have to be miachisim again. That's another question. Furthermore, maybe you'll say, the reason why it has to be miyaches him is because the very first Rashi in the parasha, and it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Beis, Rashi brings down the Shvatim were mevaze Pinchas. The Shvatim said about Pinchas that, you see this guy Pinchas, you know who Pinchas is? His father Elazar, who did Elazar marry? If you look on your sheets on page 4, it says Elazar ben Aaron took for himself from the daughters of Putiel. So Elazar married the daughters of Putiel. Whose daughters of Putiel? He married one of the daughters of Yisroi. So they started to mock Pinchas. Ah, you see this Pinchas guy? His grandfather fattened cows for idols, for getchkas. And now he kills a nasi. He has bad yichus, he does bad things. So maybe that's why it's miyachesim. In other words, maybe it's trying to defend Pinchas. It's trying to say, because the Shvatim were mevaze Pinchas. They said he has bad yichus, so Hashem says, no, he has good yichus, he comes from Aaron. But still, imagine if people were mocking someone. Hey, you have bad yichus, you come from bad stock. Does it help if on the other side he has good stock? I mean, they still have what to poke fun at. Let's go a little further. Pasuk Yud Gimel. The pasuk says, Pasuk Yud Gimel, "V'hoy saloy lazaroy acharav baris kehunas oylam." It will be to him and his children after him an everlasting kahuna. Why? Tachas hashakine leilekav, because he took a vengeance for his God. No kidding. We just said that like 3 times in the opening psukim. It says, Pinchas ben Elazar, heishav es chamosi, bekanoi es kinosi, v'lechis es meso bekinosi. So why do I need to repeat a 3rd time that Pinchas is being rewarded? Tachas hashakine leilekav. We already said that a number of times. Let us move on a little bit further and analyze the end of Parshas Balak. We go to the end of Parshas Balak, we go to Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Aleph. Vayeshev Yisrael Vashitim, the Jewish people, dwelled in Shittim. Marv Raboisai, there are a lot of problems over here. The Jewish people dwelled in Shittim. Why does it say they dwelled in Shittim? What is the significance about dwelling in Shittim? So there's a very interesting medrash, a very important medrash that you need to know. The medrash tells us that until Klal Yisrael came to Shittim, they never did anything wrong. They were perfect, basically, for 40 years. And then they get to Shittim, and all of a sudden, they commit arayos. Shittim, the medrash says, is a lashon of shtos. Right? Ein adam oisa averam kem nichnas boi ruach shtos. Says the medrash, vayachal ha'am liznois. The Medrash says, you ever realize, you know, some communities, people have certain character, other communities, they're better character. What does it depend on? So the Medrash says, it all depends on the water. That's why I double filter all the water I drink. I don't want to take any chances. The Medrash says that some water makes very big people very tall. And you know, you ever wonder, all the quarterbacks come from, you know, Pennsylvania, Ohio. Why? Who knows? There's something about the water over there that makes big, big mention, you know? Not spiritually, obviously, but okay. V'yesh chaloshim, some communities, it makes very small people. Yesh noim, some water makes beautiful people. V'yesh mechayarim, some water makes disgusting people. V'yesh tsnuim, some water makes humble people, modest people. V'yesh dufin bezima, some water makes people steeped in promiscuity. The Mayan of Shittim was a Mayan of Znus. Says the Medrash, this is the Mayan that watered which city? Sidoim. In other words, in Sidoim, they didn't drink mineral water. They didn't drink, what's the name of that water? With the
Poland Spring.
No, the pH-powered water, essential water, right? No, in Sidoim, they drank Shittim water because Shittim water was water that produced promiscuity. And ultimately, the Medrash says, Hashem is going to curse the spring of Shittim. Says the Holy Sefer Chen Toiv. He says, Davar Oyem Neira. In the beginning of the episode, it says, Vayeshev Yisrael B'Shittim. It's Kedai to have a Chumash. Then it says, Vayochel Ha'om. The people began. So now we give them a disparaging name. First, they're Yisrael. Yisrael, that's a chashva name. No, it's really, that's a very nice name. And then all of a sudden, they become Ha'om. They become the people. Then the Pasuk B'ez, Vatikrena La'om. He called the nation. Vayochel Ha'om. And then Pasuk Gimel, all of a sudden, when they do this big Aveira and they do Baal Pa'ar, then they get a promotion by Yitzamed Yisrael. We all know that in any language, you start off with the noun, you identify someone. David Richter came to the Shir. He came all the way from Kew Garden Hills. Even though he was very hungry, he still came. But I don't say he came to the Shir, he came from Kew Garden Hills. David Richter was very hungry, he came anyway. I first have to use, by the way, it's good for our business to get on the video. But first we use the noun, and then we use the pronoun. So why in this episode, the end of Balak, it starts off by saying Yisrael, it goes to Ha'am, it goes to Ha'am again, then back to Yisrael. You would think Yisrael is the name of Kai Yisrael when they're Bechashivos, so you wouldn't use that name when they're doing an Avera. Why does it say it uses Yisrael regarding Baal Pa'ar, and then when it comes to the... I mean, it's a little bit incongruous. When does it say Yisrael? In other words, what's the method of the usage of Yisrael and Ha'am over here? Ask the Chayin Tov. And then at the end of Dalet, V'yashav Charoin Af Hashem Yisrael. Goes back and forth, back and forth. But the intervals that it chooses to use Yisrael seem to be very unpredictable. And another kasha. Take a look in the Pesukim. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. Vayachel Ha'am Liznois. Vatikrena La'am. And he called the people. Lizivchei Eloihehen. To offer karbanois to their God. So what are they worshipping? Eloihehen.
Idols.
Vayoichel Ha'am. The people ate. Vayishtachavu. And they bowed down to what? Leloihehen. To their gods. And then all of a sudden, after saying, they're God, Vayitzamed Yisrael Baal Pa'ar. Now we identify which God, Baal Pa'ar. It's a Pele. It should say, Vatikrenu La'am L'Baal Pa'ar. Vayoichal Meshtachavu Leiloi Heihen. Vayitzamed Yisrael Leiloi Heihen. Why does it use pronoun, and then all of a sudden, Vayitzamed Yisrael L'Baal Pa'ar, asks the Chayin Tov. Now, another question. All of a sudden in Pasuk Vav, a guy by the name of Zimri. Well, by the way, what was Zimri's name? Some say his name was what? Shlumiel. Shlumiel. Now you know where the name comes from. Yeah? And he, all of a sudden he came. Well, where did he come? Vihine, and behold. Like, what is the meaning of this Vihine? What's the big surprise that he came? Where did he come from? Then we go to a Gemara in Sanhedrin, number 7 on your sheets. Says the Holy Gemara in Sanhedrin, Vayoymer Moshe, Shoifte Yisrael. So Moshe is judging the people. He convenes a Supreme Court, and he is adjudicating what to do with the sinners. And what happened? Halach Shivtai Shal Shimon Eitzel Zimri Ben Salu. Shevet Shimon went to Zimri. Amrulai, they said, Nasi ain't done in Dinei Nefashos, V'ata Yoshe V'shoisek. It's not right. Moshe's judging us, and you're going to be silent. Ask the Chayin Tov, well, what's the Pella? What's Moshe supposed to do? Imagine someone is being tried by the Sanhedrin, by, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, and Rav Avadya. And somebody says, what are you doing? You're just letting them judge me? What are you supposed to do? This is the Jewish process. You get the greatest dayanim, they judge the case, and they execute the judgment. What's the taina of Shevet Shimon? You're just going to let Moshe judge us? I mean, what's he supposed to do? They served Avodah Zarah. There were Edim and Asra. Moshe's the dayan. You can't get a better dayan. What was their complaint? What do they want out of their nasi? Marv Raboi said this is the best kasha you heard in the last at least 10 days, okay? Approximately. Look at the end of Parshas Balak. We all know there was a Magefa. How many people died in the Magefa? 24,000.
Where's the Magefa? It's not mentioned. It just says that...
Good. So Sender wants to know, first of all, it never even said there's a Magefa here. It doesn't say there's a Magefa. If you look in Pasuk Ches, it says, Pinchas Soa. Now I'm going to tell you a secret. It's not on the sheet, but it's okay. Stam HaZoyer HaKadosh. It's Mamish Oyim Menorah. It's Kedai to make the trip to Olam Hazeh to hear this. It says, Vayar Pinchas. What did Pinchas see? He saw that when Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, remember this, Isaac? What did Adam see? He saw the floating mem. Very good, Gevaldik. He saw the floating mem. Adam HaRishon saw that when Chava took from the Eitz Hadas, it says, Vatikach, Vatere, Vatipakachna. It uses words that begin Vavtaf, Vavtaf, Vavtaf. Vatikach mi periyoy. She took from the fruit. Says the Zohar HaKadosh, she took the mem from periyoy and she appendaged the mem to Vavtaf and it created Misa. That's the famous Zohar. That whenever, you know, that's why if you see floaters, you need to tell your doctor right away, right? If you see floaters, so Adam HaRishon saw a floating mem. The floating mem attached itself to the Vavtaf and created Misa. When Pinchas saw the mice of Zimri and Cosby, he saw the floating mem in the air. And he said, oy vai, the last time there was a floating mem, there was death. And in fact, the Malchum Avos was bringing Magifa to the world. So Pinchas is Gematria what? 208. He took the mem and he attached the mem to 208 and he made it Roimach, Vayikach, Roimach Biyadai. He took the mem, he attached it to 208 and he made it a spear and he used the Midas Adin against the people who are dying in the Magefa. But that's not what today's shiur is about. The Pasuk says, Vate'atzar HaMagefa. In Pasuk Ches, the Magefa stopped. Okay, so the Pasuk is saying the Magefa stopped. Even though the Pasuk never said the Magefa started, but the Pasuk says the Magefa stopped. By the way, the next Pasuk is, how many people died in the Magefa? 24,000. By the way, Alpi Kabbalah, who else were 24,000? Tamid Rabbi Akiva. So this is a little addition. What do the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva got to do with the B'nai Shimon that were dying? What's the connection? Maybe we're going to see based on what we learned today. But the next pasuk says, Vayu Hamesim B'Magefa. Those who died in the Magefa. Why does it have to say B'Magefa? The previous pasuk already said B'Magefa. The pasuk before said the Magefa stopped. So the next pasuk should say Vayu Hamesim Arba Ve'Esrim Aleph. Those who died, we know it was the Magefa. The pasuk before already said Magefa. Why repeat Magefa? Furthermore, ask the Chin Toiv, the psukim are out of order, Azriel. Why are the psukim out of order? First it should say how many people died in the Magefa, and then it should say the Magefa stopped. Why does it first say the Magefa stopped? And by the way, you know how many people died? 24,000. It's out of order. It should first say 24,000 people died, and then now it's stopped. Why the opposite order? Next. Says the Chen Toiv. You have to know Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin says on the Pasuk in Tehillim.
Where is this Pasuk over here? Because there's a Pasuk in Tehillim. It doesn't say here. In this Pasuk here.
There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Yeah. Oh, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says like this in Tehillim: Vayamoy Pinchas, Vayifalel. Pinchas stood up, and it doesn't say Vayispalel, Vayifalel. So the Gemara says he made plilois imkainoi. He made arguments and discussions and sort of verbal disagreements with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? It doesn't say, says Gemara, he vayispalal, vayifalal. He argued with Hashem. And the Malachi Asharis came and they wanted to punch him and push him. So Hashem said, no, don't touch him. He's a Kanoi, the son of a Kanoi. He's a Meshiv Chema, the son of a Meshiv Chema. So the Shvatim started to mock him. They said, you know who his Zayda was? Yisrael. So Hashem said, no, that's why we have to miyaches him. Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aharon HaKohen. By the way, the Gemara tells us six miracles happened when Pinchas killed Zimri. One was Zimri, when he saw Pinchas coming, should have stopped cold. And then Pinchas can't do anything. You know, what's he supposed to do? You know, you can only kill someone, HaBoyel Aram is kind of unpoying, but if he stops, you can't touch him. So he should have withdrew. He was stuck. He couldn't withdraw. It was a nest. That's one miracle. The next miracle, he should have argued with him. He didn't say anything. Number three, Pinchas, when he hit him, mamish bullseye. Bezachrusai shall Zimri, uvenakvusai shall Cosby. in one fell swoop. Number four, he didn't slip off the skewer. He stayed like a good shish kebab. Okay? So Pinchas was holding the sword. Otherwise, he could have become tameh. Pinchas is a kayin. Number five, he couldn't get him out the door. The door rose. Number six was he stuck him in front of Hashem and he said as follows, God, do 24,000 people have to die just because of what he did? So what was Pinchas' kasha? Do 24,000 people have to die? Yes, doesn't Pinchas know that that's why people were dying? Doesn't Pinchas know that when Arias is committed, disaster comes to the world? How could Pinchas argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But now we understand why the Malachim wanted to hurt Pinchas. Pinchas is mamish arguing with Hashem. Hashem is making a gzera. He's bringing the death of 24. And Pinchas said, no, it's not right. Should 24,000 people have to die because of this? By the way, another question the Chain Toiv says, brings, is who else do we find, does anybody remember? Who else do we find made a similar argument to Hashem? Hashem, does everyone have to die just because one or two people sinned? Who?
Avram.
Who?
Avram.
But who, Mamer, said the same thing?
Yaina.
Who said, who took items and said, here, Ribbono Shel Olam, look, does everyone have to die because of this? Yehoshua ben Nun. He took the spoils of Achan. He took the cloak of Achan. He took the golden tongue that Achan stole. And he says, does the Sanhedrin have to go down because of one person's Avera? Do we find that the Malachim wanted to kill Yehoshua? Yeshua might have been right. Yeshua was correct. Hashem, the Gzeira seemed to have been excessive. So why all of a sudden Pinchas' argument, all of a sudden all the Malachim want to kill him? Let's talk about Pinchas' yichas for a moment, and then we're going to offer an approach to chidushim atzumim. Pinchas' yichas was, number one, his father was Elazar. Who is Elazar married to? Mibnois Putiel. What does that mean? So Rashi says in Parshas Va'era, you have it on your sheet at number four, Rashi says that Elazar, ben Aaron ha-koyen, that Elazar ben Aaron took from the daughters of Putiel. What does it mean? Rashi says, from the descendants of Yisrael, who fattened calves for Avodah Zarah, and Mizara Yosef, who he challenged his Yitzhahara. So, Pinchas has pretty good yichas. On his father's side, he comes from Aaron. On his mother's side, he comes from Yosef, but he also comes from Yisrael. So the Shvatim were mavazim, you come from Yisrael, you come from Yisrael. I mean, ask the Chain Toiv, two out of three is pretty good. I mean, Aaron, Yosef, Yisrael. I mean, it's not so terrible to come from Aaron. The majority of his yichas was pretty strong. What exactly was the taina of Klal Yisrael? And it sounds like, you see what this Puti did? It sounds like they're even utilizing the fact that he came from Yosef as to put him down. Well, how in the world could it be a critique to come from Yosef to put down Pinchas? Mav Raboisai, the Chain Toiv, Rav Tuvia Halevi says, Apshat, Mamish Oyem Benoira. He says as follows. Number one, the first Hakdama you need to know is that Klal Yisrael did two averos. The first avera was their mezaneh with the Bnei Smayav. Look in Chaf Hei. Vayeshev Yisrael bashitim, vayachel ha'am liznois al Bnei Smayav.
Why didn't the folk go to war against Smayav?
Why didn't what?
Why didn't the Eden go against
Smayav? We weren't allowed to, right? Al Tatsar as Smayav. Because we're related to them. You know, we're cousins.
But they caused them tremendous sin.
Yeah, they caused us sin. But Lamais, at the end of the day, King David is still hidden in them, so we couldn't destroy them. Ultimately, once David HaMelech came out, so we were able to destroy Moav. Okay, so Klal Yisrael did znos. What else did they do in Pasuk Beis? Vatikrena la'am lezivchei Elohei hen. They served what? I'm in the end of Parshas Balak. Parak Chafei Pasuk Beis. Vatikreno la'am lezivchei Eloi Hehen. Now, they served Avodah Zarah. Could somebody tell me which Avodah Zarah did they serve? L'chayra, the Avodah Zarah of Moav. What's the Avodah Zarah of Moav?
You need to get something.
One second, no. But what's the Avodah Zarah of Moav? Close. K'moish. Anybody named Moish here? But it's not Moish. It's K'moish. You see, that's why when you imitate something, you always get something really bad. Imitation is always terrible. The real thing is Moish, but K'moish is not. It's the same thing. There's a guy, he's married to a woman, Razi. But imagine if her name was K'Razi. It's, you know. So imitation is never a good thing. You have to have authentic, not imitation. The K'ir always ruins things. Yeah, that's an old Yankel Miller. Okay, so Klal Yisrael did two Averas. Avera number one is Znus. Avera number two is Avodah Zarah. Which one did Pinchas take up the cause of? Znus. What's he doing about Avodah Zarah? Nothing. Yeah. Wait a second. Is that appropriate? I have a question for you. If someone is Mezaneh, so that's infraction, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. You know, how can you be Mezaneh? You're ruining someone else's marriage. You're ruining yourself. Znus is a disparagement to Adam. Avodah Zarah is a disparagement to God. If you're going to take up the cause of one of these things, which one should you better take up the cause of? Avodah Zarah, not Znus. How do I know that? Remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin about Pilegesh Begiva? The Gemara says in the times of Pilegesh Begiva, Klal Yisrael were worshipping idols. Which idol? Micha. And the Gemara says that they were worshipping Micha so much that the barbecues that emanated from Pesel Micha mixed with the smoke that came out of the Mishkan. And the Malachim wanted to kill Micha, and Hashem said, don't leave him alone. He's a machnes oireach. Says the Gemara, but when the Klal Yisrael experienced Pilegesh Begiva and they made a civil war. You know what civil war is? Like in the late 19th century, like New York City today, that's what a civil war is, right? So when Klal Yisrael, they made a civil war against Sheva Ben Yamin. And what did they do? They killed people because of Arayas. Hashem said, I will punish Klal Yisrael severely. They only care about Arayas. What about Pesach Micha? It's a bizoyon to me that they're standing up for against Arayas and not against Avodah Zarah. When Pinchas took his sword and was going to kill Klal Yisrael, for what? For Arayos. And he was not taking up the cause of Avodah Zarah, that created a tremendous kitrig in Shamayim. The Malachim said, you only care about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you don't care about Bein Adam L'Makoyim. They wanted to kill Pinchas. Klal Yisrael wanted to kill Pinchas. Pinchas, you're going to bring on God's wrath. You don't have a right to do that. When people are sinning and insulting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insulting Kavod HaShechina, don't stand up for the Kavod of Basar V'Dam.
Do you need to pay them for Avodah Zarah? Or
So L'Chaira, you do need a Beis Din for Avodah Zarah, yes. But you also need a Beis Din for Arayos, except for there is this small carved out exception of Habayel Aram Miskano and Poigambay. The Arias was he's living with a guy. So that's not a Chiv Karis. In other words, by the way, there's a famous piece in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. What's worse, to live with a Nida or to live with a guy? But Nida is a Chiv Karis. A guy is just a lav. But everybody understands that we can't always judge the severity of something by its punishment. So really, the punishment of Nida is worse than a guy. But the repercussions of living with a guy is, you're destroying the Jewish people. So that's why there's a special halacha, Habayel Aramis, Kanoem Poigimbay. Okay, so let's talk about this a little. Very good.
You can't do tshuva on Znus, but you can do tshuva on Avodah Zarah.
Okay, you could do tshuva on Avodah Zarah. L'chayra, you could do tshuva on anything, right?
You can't do tshuva on Znus.
Why not? Why? What?
You destroyed place, or you have a mamzer.
Oh, you mean if you have, you're right, if you have a mamzer, you can't do anything. But somebody stam lived with a guy one time.
You
can do tshuva.
You destroyed it already.
No, I'm saying somebody lived with a guy one time, you can do tshuva. Ain davar oimer b'fnei tshuva. Okay, now Rabbi Isai, the Gemara says like this. Bilam came to Balak, and he said, the Jews, God hates one thing. He hates znus. And if you want to get the Jews to do znus, you know what Jews love? Jews love Chinese food. No, I'm joking. Jews love linen shirts, right? Everyone, I'm looking around, the Mustama. That's what the Gemara says. Jews love linen shirts. Why? Because in Egypt, they wore a lot of linen shirts. Linen is cool, it's soft, it's refreshing. Okay, don't try it at home. So this is Bilam's Eitzah. We're going to get Klal Yisrael to fall for the cheap linen shirts. We're going to position old women outside of the linen shirt tent, the young women inside, and the old woman's going to say, linen shirts for sale for $500. And the younger one will say, nah, you get a better price inside. And she's going to put out wine, and she's going to put out good food, and the Yid is going to eat and drink, and he's going to get a little comfortable. And then she's going to say, you're a preferred customer, sit down, make yourself at home. You know, like these car dealerships, they say, like, and with all sincerity, they say, to us, the most important person in the world is our customer. No kidding, right? But and that's like a way of saying, to us, your money is the most important thing in the world. So that's what, and finally, the Yid ate and drank, and his taiva overcame him, and he tells her, Hashmi li, give in. And she says, she whips out the Avodah Zarah, not until you bow down to this. And he says, I can't do it, I'm a Jew. She says, who cares? All I want you to do is a little bal pa'ar, just defecate in front of the Avodah Zarah. And the Jew didn't know that this is the way of worshipping it. This is the, because we know that if you bring a sacrifice to any Avodah Zarah, you're chayv misa. If you bow down to any Avodah Zarah, you're chayv misa. But any Avodah Zarah, that this is the way it is worshipped, you cannot worship it, even if it's a disgraceful way. In other words, to throw a rock at Markulis is Avodah Zarah. To defecate in front of Baal Par is Avodah Zarah. And that's how they got Klal Yisrael to succumb. So, says the Chain Toiv, there were two Averis of Klal Yisrael. Number one was Arayas. Number two is Avodah Zarah. But which one brought which? Klal Yisrael had no interest in serving Avodah Zarah. It was only they served Avodah Zarah to be able to do the Arayos. So Pinchas had a chap. Pinchas says, I know the Maisa Pilegesh Begiva. I know you're not to stand up for Avodah Zarah if there's instead of Arayos. I know you're not to stand up against Arayos in the place of Avodah Zarah. I know you have to stand up for God's honor and not the honor of man. But if the only reason they're worshipping Avodah Zarah is because of the Arayos, if I take care of the Arayos, they won't serve the Avodah Zarah, so I'll nip it in the bud. So Pinchas had a cheshbin l'shem shamayim, even though it wasn't a halachic cheshbin, meaning purely halachically he needed to stand up for the Avodah Zarah, but al pi svara, in order to mekadesh shem shamayim, he figured he's better off wiping out the Arayos, and that will take care of the Avodah Zarah. Now, there were different kinds of Jews. The lower Jews, they went straight for Kamosh. That's the pasuk. Vayeshev Yisrael b'shitim. The Jews went to Shittim. Who are the Jews? Klal Yisrael in a very high madriga. But then they began to falter. Vayachel ha'am. The people became chulen. Or vayachel could mean they began. How did they begin? They lowered themselves. It all came, they began through liznois b'nois moyav. Oh, once they started the Zanus, as the Gemara says, Batikren Olam, Lezivche Eloi Heyen, to sacrifice to their gods. Which God? Straight up Kamosh. The real God. Vayoichalom, they ate. Vayishtachavu, they bowed. They didn't do Baal Pa'ar yet, they bowed Leloi Heyen. And what about the Jews on the high level? Achin Vay Vayit Samed Yisrael Baal Pa'ar. Not only did the riffraff worship Kamosh, but the higher Yidin attached themselves to Baal Pa'ar. And who is Hashem more upset at? The lower Yidin who do a big Avera, or the better Yidin who do a more innocuous Avera? Vayicharaf Hashem be Yisrael. Because for a Jew can say, oh, I don't know, I'm a quiet guy, I don't know. No. Shigigas Talmud Oyla Zadain. Someone who should know better is held more accountable than someone who doesn't know. So this is a beautiful reading of the Pasuk. Klal Yisrael got to sheet them, but then they drank the bad waters. Though the waters that induce Arayas. And the Jews began through Arayas. And the Arayas brought about Avodah Zarah. Which Avodah Zarah kamoish. But the real problem was not the lower serving Eloheihen. The real problem was Vayitzom Yisrael Labal Pa'or. So Hashem tells Moshe like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, take the Jews and put them opposite the sun. Now, you have to understand, why did Pinchas stand up against Arias and not Avodah Zarah? So we said because Arias was the cause of the Avodah Zarah. But there was another reason. Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin says Moshe Rabbeinu was already judging the Avodah Zarah in a Sanhedrin. Now listen to this. Who's Moshe judging exactly? The guys who are worshipping Kamosh, so we have Edom. And we have open Edos that they're worshipping Kamosh. And probably some of them were warned, so Moshe could judge them according to the regular process. But a guy who's bowing down to Par, first of all, we have Edom, he may have done it privately. Also, maybe he didn't know that this is the type of way to worship the Savior. What if a guy says, you know, I didn't know you're not to defecate in front of Par? Is he Chayiv Misa? It's not Chayiv Misa. He's a Shoigeg. And in fact, he wasn't warned. And maybe he could say, I didn't know. When it comes to we're bowing down, you can't say you didn't know. Everybody knows bowing down to Avodah Zarah is bowing down to Avodah Zarah. But you could say, I didn't know that going to the bathroom is a way of serving an Avodah Zarah.
The fact that they get them trod in to go to the bathroom.
What? Yeah, they said, look, I didn't know that this is Avodah Zarah. So Hashem tells Moshe, if you want to know who worshipped Kamosh, you bring them out to the Anani HaKavod. The Anani HaKavod will open up, Rashi says, and the sun will shine on all the guilty ones. Now I have a question. Could Moshe kill these people? Halachically? No, there's no Hasra, there's no Edus. It's just a supernatural process. But Moshe was killing them. Now listen to this. Klal Yisrael sees what Pinchas did. Now you ready for the chiddush of the night? There were two magefas. Where? It says it beferish in the pasuk. The first magefa was before when Zimri and Cosby were living with each other. People were dropping dead, and that's because many of the Bnei Shimon were being mezana with the Bnei Smayav. That magefa, the Torah doesn't say how many people died. That magefa came to an end when Pinchas shechted Zimri and Cosby. Vateyotzer magefa, the penultimate pasuk of Balak. The second last pasuk of Balak. Vateyotzer magefa, that's magefa number one. It stopped. When Pinchas killed Zimri, the magefa stopped. What should have happened? Nobody else should have died. All of a sudden, after the first magefa stopped, the Malach HaMavet starts wiping people out in a second wave like nobody's business. Much more people died in the second wave. Why were they dying? You know why? They said, Pinchas, because you stood up for the kavod of Basar V'dam and not the kavod of Shechina. So they blamed the second wave on Pinchas. We had Akasha. Why does Pasuk Tes have to say Ba Magefa? We know they died in Magefa. That's the Pasuk before about Teyatzar Magefa. We asked, shouldn't first it say 24,000 people died in the Magefa and then it stopped? No, there are two different Magefas. Magefa number one was because of the Arayas. Pinchas thought it was going to stop when he knocked off Zimri and Cosby. That's when it got started. And all of a sudden, all the Bnei Shimon said, what kind of rabbi is this? He's just causing magefa. Because now that he killed Zimri and Cosby, more people were dying.
So the 24,000 people were dying in which magefa?
The second magefa. And they blamed it on Pinchas. So you know what they said, Pinchas? You know why you care more about Arayas and Avodah Zarah? Because you come from Yisrael. Yisrael worshipped every idol in the world. So you don't care about Avodah Zarah. It's in your genes to serve Avodah Zarah. But you care about Arayas because Yosef HaTzadik, you know, never succumbed to Arayas. Now we understand exactly why they're pinpointing his yichus. Your yichus is Yisrael, the big Oyvid Avodah Zarah, so you don't care about Avodah Zarah. And your yichus is Yosef, who overcame Arayas, so you care about Arayas. But that's against, that's a violation of Kavod HaShechinah. That's why God is bringing a second Magefa. But that's not why God was bringing a second Magefa. God was bringing a second Magefa because they didn't trust the Das Torah of Pinchas. Now we understand they didn't have Kavod Chachamim. Who were the Gilgulim of the 24,000 Bnei Shimon, the Bnei Rabbi Akiva? They were the Loinagu Kavod Zebazeh. They didn't have Kavod to the Chachmei Yisrael. It's the same infraction.
So when Moshe judged them and killed them,
oh, very good. No, that's a third thing. Okay. So if you remember, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says they came running to Zimri and they said, Moshe's trying us, Moshe's killing us, why don't you do something? So we asked, what do you mean Moshe's judging them in the Sanhedrin? That's not what their taina was. The fact that Moshe was judging them in the Sanhedrin, Moshe is allowed to judge those who bow down to Kamosh, but Moshe made a Hayra Shah. Moshe wasn't just killing those who bow down to Kamosh. Moshe was killing those who bow down to Baal Pa'ar, even those who really didn't know that you're not allowed to serve Baal Pa'ar by defecating. Because Moshe said, if I'm not going to take care of these guys, and I'm only going to take care of those who served Kamosh, what's going to happen is everyone's going to say only Kamosh is a problem, but Baal Pa'ar, you know, knock your heart out. You know, go enjoy yourself with Baal Pa'ar.
How many people died in the first Magid?
So the first Magid, we don't know. We don't know. But this is a Chiddush Ayin Menorah. There were two Magefas. The first Magefa was a Magefa based on the Arayas. The second Magefa they blamed on Pinchas for standing up to the wrong thing. They said, oh, it's because of your Yichas. You only care about Arayas because of Yosef. You don't care about the Zara because of Yisrael. Hashem says, no. This man only cares about me because he comes from Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the one who made the Egel. Why did he make the Egel? The Medrash says, because Aaron wanted to show them that he crept into their deep subconscious. And Chazal say that at Har Sinai, when God was saying, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, they already had plans on making the Egel. And Aaron had to weed it out of them. And Aaron said, if I make it, God will blame me and he won't destroy the Jewish people. And if I make it, I'll delay until Moshe gets back. So Aaron did the unconventional, even though according to the letter of the law, you can't make it. He did an Avera Lashma to calm down my wrath. So too Pinchas is doing the same thing. It's not that he cares about Arayas more than Avodah Zarah. It's he's thinking, why are the Jews serving Avodah Zarah? They're only serving Avodah Zarah because they wanted to do Arayas. So he figures if he nips Arayas in the bud, then they won't serve Avodah Zarah and he'll also withdraw my wrath. So it's not because he comes from Yosef. It's not because he comes from Yisrael. It's because he's from Aroin HaKoyen, who's Heshev Es Chamasi, Me'al B'nei Yisrael. And that's Meduyuk in the Pasuk says the Chain Toiv. Look in Yud Gimel. V'hoi soloi ulazarei acharav bris kuluhuna soilam tachas asher kinei leiloi kav. Don't think he's taking the vengeance of man. This is my vengeance. The Arayos is my honor. Because since the Arayos is leading to Avodah Zarah, the Arayos is my honor. Marv Ravoisai, this is a rather novel take on the episode of Pinchas and Zimri. The two great chidushim are that in fact there were two magefas. And this is meduyuk in the fact that it repeats magefa again in both the last two psukim and Parshas Balak. The first magefa was because of the znos. The second magefa was because the Bnei Shimon did not trust the Das Torah of Pinchas, says the Chain Toiv. And that magefa was worse than the first magefa. And there were two types of Avodah Zarah. They got there, they were Yisrael. They began by Yochalam Liznois. That led them to Leiloi Hehen, real Avodah Zarah. But that's not what Hashem got upset with. What Hashem got upset with was by Yitzameid Yisrael Lebaal Pa'ar, the higher Jew who should have known better to stay away from Avodah Zarah entirely. So Marv Raboisai, what?
Who was Zimri?
Zimri was a great Nasi, Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai. And after all, you remember we said many, many times that he lived with this woman, how many biyos? Begematria, Mashiach ben David. We spoke that out from the Spinka a number of times. But at the end of the day, Pinchas risked his life. By the way, why did he risk his life? The Gemara says that if at that moment Zimri would have killed Pinchas, Zimri would have been Pater. And if then Pinchas would have killed Zimri, Pinchas would have been Chayiv. So he put his life on the line because he understood at the end of the day, it's not about, in this instance, doing what the obvious kavod would be to Hashem, but to think a little deeper and recognize that it was the arayus that was leading to the avodah zarah. He's going to nip it in the bud, and ultimately Hashem was machshiv what Pinchas did. No, it's sort of the students of Rabbi Kiva were a parallel to this avera, because the sin of the Bnei Shimon was they didn't. In other words, they questioned the value, the judgment of Pinchas. They said, "You know, who do you think you are? We think it should be done this way." They questioned. No. It seems like somehow it's a repetition, or it happened again. No. Yeah, Merav Abayisai. I wish everyone a great night. Thank you so much for coming. Baruch Hatzlacha. Shka. Yeah. Why didn't Moshe kill Zimri? No, because Moshe... Okay, good question. Moshe was killing the Oveda.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.